Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Ryan Fraser.
This is Troy Daly.
This is Gus Boyett.
This is Don Hutchison.
This is Jürgen Klopp, and you're listening to The Big Interview with Graeme Hunter.
Thank you, Jürgen. I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios, our beloved members, keep us on the road. This independent podcast wouldn't happen without them. Please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter right now to join us, to become a socio, and to get every interview we produce without adverts and before it goes out on the main feed, plus lots of bonus content, including the chance to put questions to our guests and to me via the monthly Q&A. So do please go to patreon.com/Graeme Hunter and join the club and get your family and friends to do so. Maybe even strangers in the street. Love you. Look, unlike you, I'm Graeme Hunter, and this is The Big Interview. I'm glad you're back. If this is your first listen to Thomason on The Big Interview, then go back and listen to part one. Everything will make more sense. Honestly, it's like eating your pudding before your soup and then having your main course start. It's not on. In this one, I talked to him about how he and Malmo knocked Rangers out of the Champions League qualifier, but Rangers at the time of recording were on the verge of making it to the Europa League final. I asked him if that was hard to digest. Big win, super for his club, but it's Rangers who now are in a European final. Not him, not Malmo. Donald Thomason is a coach now. One that I could imagine will be very attractive for a number of clubs to hire. And he talks a little bit about the addiction of winning as a coach and about how he likes his teams to play. There's insight, I would say, into Denmark and why they're such a powerful international force at the moment. If you're a collector of trivia, did you know that Jón Dahl Tomasson turned down moving to Barcelona so that he could go to Milan instead? And listen, there are mentions, why wouldn't there be, again, of Michael Laudrup and Andrea Pirlo. This is a very good interview because Jón Dahl Tomasson is exceptionally interesting. He's pretty funny. He liked the process of this interview. He's bright. Good football player too. Going to be a good coach. Watch out for Jón Dahl Tomasson coming to a team near you. For the moment, he's on The Big Interview. Let's talk a little bit about Malmo. And there's the team you knocked out in one of the rounds, the penultimate round. Because I think you had to beat Ludogorets as well to also go to Champions League. You knock Rangers out in the penultimate round of qualifying for the Champions League with two good displays. And here you are sitting with an idiot like me, having won the title at Malmo twice, but Rangers are still in Europe. That must be a bit of a pisser that, you know, you and your team unpicked them twice, once away with 10 men. Good result, irrespective of what the name of the club is. That's, yeah, they're in the semi-final and only 1-0 down against Leipzig because of a late goal from Angelino. And the prize that you won for was to go on a route with Chelsea, Zenit, Juventus.
you know.
Yeah, of course.
When it's been a bittersweet experience.
When you're playing from a Scandinavian team, it's just tough going through the qualification. We needed to beat four champion mm-hmm. of four different countries, so four really winners, mm-hmm. and we did that, and still doing well in the league, which we won in the end. Yeah, historical, almost never happened before. It's almost impossible in Sweden do well in Europe, do well in Sweden, but we managed in the end of the day. We did the impossible, but of course. Playing those qualification game it's been a bit of a fairy tale. It was impossible, mission impossible. We did it, and we did it especially the game against Rangers with 10 men, winning it. And I think we deserve to win the games as well. And you played against bigger sides with bigger budget, different world. Playing the as a manager, you're always searching for a perfect game. I think almost against Luka Goretz is a team, I think, on the same height as Rangers, more or less. I think they're qualifying for those group phase last 7 years out of eight. So winning at home 2-0, playing some great football, attacking football, creating chances, probably hitting the post. We should probably have won it 4-0. Searching for that perfect game. I think that game was almost perfect. But at the end of the day, when you are playing Champions League, it's those teams you just mentioned, Zenit, Juventus, Chelsea.
European champions, Chelsea.
European champion. That's another league. It's a bit like being that young boy in the schoolyard, playing football with the big boys, and you were trying to show you deserve to be there, and you wanted to be there, and at the end of the day, the boys are just... They're just older, mm-hmm. So it's a bit of been a for the club and for the fans and for us. It's been a great experience, and it also was extremely important financially, of course.
Let's weigh it up then. So if balancing it against the finances, ballpark, how many millions do you think that campaign made for Malmo? Not to the penny, but are we talking 5 million or 50 million?
I think 30 million euro.
30 is... 30. That's pretty gigantic for Malmo.
For sure. And I think it's great for the club because they could develop the club, invest in the club.
Yeah.
But it could also invest in new players. So I would be sure if I stayed there, we would want the league for the third time as well.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think you're going to piss on this, but if I give you a magic wand, right, and you get to go out in the qualifying but be in the semi-final of the Europa League right now in charge of Malmo facing, okay, let's call it Leipzig, and you can choose, which do you choose?
Oh, that's a difficult one.
Thank you.
That's a very difficult question.
I am Jürgen Kohler.
Rangers done really well. Lost 1-0 yesterday in Germany away in Leipzig.
Against a good team.
Against a very brilliant side.
Yeah.
So they've done well. I'm a good friend from Bongos, which I played
with him at Feyenoord. And I knew that Gio would be in your heart, that you probably want them to go and
for
do
sure,
well.
For sure.
But like in my magic, I've given you a magic wand. You're actually choosing. You couldn't actually go.
Can I choose the Champions League final instead?
Yeah, baby, you can choose whatever you want. You can have Claudio Schiffer on your elbow if you want. I don't care, but yeah.
To play, to see the people around the club, to see the players, the families, the proudness, the enjoyment when we managed to qualify for the group phase. That's something I never will forget. And they make you proud because you're a leader of a group.
Yes.
They make you proud as a manager to see that you're beating four champion of other countries, four different qualifications where you're playing teams which are bigger if you look at the players, regarding players, and you are achieving that, and you do that together, that make you proud. So I will not change it.
I knew it would be difficult because in researching you, one of the things because I think the way you play and the way you look and the way you talk tricks people. Not nobody that knows you well. Because I think people will easily think, there's a guy who's happy, and look at the way he plays. It's a kind of the 9.5 or 10 position, a kind of happy-go-lucky, I live in my own beautiful world. But that's wrong. You like to win. And therefore, the overall effect of what you said you wouldn't swap for, of the pride and the union and beating champions and being Champions League and leaving a legacy... There's the Jundell Thomason legacy at Malmo of 30 million euros or whatever it is. That's pretty beautiful, but it's not a trophy. And you like trophies.
I like trophy. I like winning. I won a lot as a player, and now the last two seasons with Malmö, I won two leagues, and we qualified for the Champions League as well. And winning is addicted. Yeah, you get addicted with winning.
Yeah.
Winning is something special. It gives me fire. You get the hunger. But at the end of the day, I always want to entertain as well. But of course, winning is higher than entertaining. But it's very, very. Oof.
But sometimes they can also go hand in hand.
And that's as a manager, you're looking for that. You want to develop. I want to build my own team to a special direction where you can entertain people. I think you deserve to entertain people.
You
need to do it.
You said something crazy, which you said that you're almost enjoying training as much as playing, which seems to me to be completely mad. I want to ask something more specific now about the group. Because as a coach, I think you knew the group was going to be real tough, but there were 4-0s, and it was tough. And I'm not saying that Malmö was a side that shouldn't have been there, but the learning experience, the bath of cold water in the first three games was big. And then it wasn't anymore. Only 1-0 against Chelsea and Juve, and 1-1 Zenit scoring in the 98th minute, or whatever it was, which must be...
not a penalty, then otherwise we're 1-0.
There you go. Their second penalty of the game, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Because the big guy...
Exactly.
Missed the penalty. Look, tell me specifically what changed for you, for the squad, between the first three games and the second three games. Because it feels, looking at it, like you went, okay, there's tons of information. This is what we do differently. This is what they don't like. This is how we alter. And okay, it's still two defeats and a draw, but that's something also for my money to be real proud of.
Yeah, if you look at one player, for example, for Chelsea, yeah, that would be the same amount of the whole club of Malmö. So that's the way you have to think a bit. But first of all, I think after playing those four qualification rounds and playing in the league, with a group of Malmö, which was not used to that, to play at that level and perform at that level. When we started the campaign, when we started the first game in the Champions League, we were a bit tired. Sounds crazy, but...
Do you mean more mentally than physically?
Both things, actually. And when you play the best team in the world, you need to make quicker the decisions. So we were actually getting a lot of penalty against us as well, because we were not thinking quick enough, and that's normal because the level was just, I wouldn't say too high, but very high if you compare it with our level. Mm-hmm. So I think it took a couple of games before we got used to the speed of the game, the decision making, and after that it was better. And playing Zenit at home, we should have won that game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it away, actually, we received the goal quite early, but the first half we were a better team, had better chances, and then in the second half we got a red card because things went so quick again. So that journey has been, I think the players have learned a lot for that journey as well.
But by going too quick, I think I understand what you mean, because you see, in Spain they get called automatismos, a concept I guess you're used to. Not every football culture has a system where, like, the decisions are built into your hard drive, and you don't you take half touches and you do a half turn, and not every country looks for that. But when you talk about the games being slightly too fast, can you draw a picture of examples, or we're not talking necessarily 5 seconds, we're probably talking
milliseconds,
about
milliseconds.
Yeah,
it's like that. No, how do you receive the ball? Have you seen things? Have you scanned before? And suddenly, bang, there's a pressure. Then you lose the ball, and then you have to act again. The body shape is not that good. All those small things, which when you play, let's say, in the Premier League, or you play in the La Liga or Serie A,
they become natural
because they're used to play in that level every game. They used to be match. And we were not used to that, and especially when you're playing all those games, and our squad is of course not strong enough for that.
No.
When you're in Sweden, so we were actually not ready to play those games, which is normal because you're not used to the boys.
Yeah, but I still want to highlight the positive change between the first three and the second three. So when you talked about peripheral vision or doing a check on just being aware of what's happening around you when the ball comes to you. body position, like being ready to take it without having to touch, or even, this must piss you off in general, I'm not talking now about your Malmo players because I don't have enough experience of watching them, but like with your passes, the ones that came to you, you didn't always need to take a touch. You talked about playing with Pirlo, but Calau would be an example, Robert Pires would be an example, Kaká. When you see footballers in your squad who maybe don't make a 5-yard pass 100 times out of 100, week in, week out, that must piss you off. But also when the pass is good and a player isn't ready just to turn and go. Are you an interventionist coach? So when you're back in the training ground, are you taking them by the shoulders and saying, I want you to be like, don't you see? Or do you try and show them on video? Or what's your one-on-one teaching skill as a coach?
I think that's, you do both things depending on the person. Different person learn in a different way. So sometimes you do it on the pitch, sometimes you do the inside, sometimes you do it self, sometimes one of your assistants is doing that. But especially those players, those boys at Malmö, they did a tremendous job. Imagine winning those four qualifications rounds, playing those teams we played. That's a big challenge.
You mentioned it twice. Do you think that not only now in this interview, but in general, people don't appreciate that sufficiently?
I think people which know how difficult it is, they say, wow, what a great job. Because it's tough going through four champions of four different countries, because winners in a league are used to winning. So that's different when you play winners than when you play, let's say, number four in the group, in the league for European football. That's a totally different way. Because
so you're facing teams, even if it's from Finland or Scotland,
they're used to winning.
Their mentality is tough.
Different.
They've got an arrogance. They've got competitive spirit.
They have to believe in the things they're doing. They have an attitude.
Momentum.
Yeah, for sure.
So coming out of the Champions League, you really did say that you find coaching as enjoyable as playing. I saw it. I think I even heard you say it. Do you really feel that?
Maybe it was a bit of a lie, huh?
I thank the Lord. Because it drives you crazy. You can't control it. Now, if I see you in Berlin in a couple of years' time leading Rossoneri or Villarreal or Manchester United up to lift a European trophy, I'll believe on that day you feel it's as good as playing. But it's not. It will lose you sleep. It will lose you friends. You will get sacked. You will have defeats where you did everything right and your players did everything right and you still lose. And why are you going to be a coach? Why?
Because, quite simple. Football is my life. I love it. I'm so passionate about football. I'm so driven of being part of the game. And to be honest, I went away as an 18 years old boy because I loved football, because I wanted to be successful. But the first thing was I love football. I love to play football at the schoolyard, but wanted to perform on a bigger set as well. So a guy who's been abroad in many different countries, there's a reason why he's done it, because he loved the adventure. He loved the game, and I love it so much. And I'm enjoying, and it's true, playing football is different than being a manager. Of course, it's a totally different path, but still enjoyable. And you do it with people who want the same as you, who wants to be successful, and to be in charge of that, and to put those boys and the rest of the club towards a special direction you want, which I think is the right, to be dominant with the ball, without the ball, being very flexible, playing a modern attacking way of playing football and scoring those goals.
You've had offers, so you're not in work at the moment by your own choice.
Yeah, it's true.
It was
a bit surprised for a lot of people. I stopped in Melbourne actually after two very successful years with two titles and of course the Champions League. So people were a bit surprised, but at the end of the day, it also made me a bit proud playing the last game away in Juventus, actually knowing, oh, I left this club on a good path. I left this club on a right spot. Got a lot of Champions League money, so can build a stronger side. They can develop the club even more. So I left the club on the top, and it's true, I didn't want to be a quick solution, a quick fix here.
People have asked you to come in and solve their problems.
Yeah, and I want to build something. I want to build something to be successful. And when I stopped at Malmö, it was, You can say in a way, I also stopped from Denmark. I was in Denmark before I went to Malmö. And after we qualified for Europe 2020, without losing a single game for 3.5 years, I went away because I have an ambition and I love the challenge. I'd love to develop the club in a more European way, to develop a youngster, to win games, to win trophy, which happened in Malmö. And now I'm searching for a new challenge again.
Before the rest of this big interview, I'd like to tell you that our entire archive of audio and video content is now on our new YouTube channel. We've begun filming all of our interviews, and there are already loads of clips with guests, including Rio Ferdinand, Connor Cody, Brendan Rodgers and Jamie Carragher, plus full interviews for you to watch and to share. Please do share with friends. Go to YouTube and search Graham Hunter, or click on the link in the show notes to this episode and become a subscriber. I honestly think you'll enjoy it. Thanks.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If it's a club challenge, yeah, we'll come to it in a second, but really, maybe you should be in charge of the Danish national team right now, is my opinion. And maybe the Danish FA should have handled it differently. Once the tournament was postponed, you'd qualified. But if you had your... Again, I'm giving you a magic wand. If you had your choice, would Jon Dahl Tomasson be coaching next in, you know, a big club in Eredivisie, Bundesliga? Maybe not La Liga yet, because you would need to top up your Spanish, or the Premier League. If there's an... I'm not asking the club, but if there's a place where you're like, yeah, I see the fit, I see the logic, that's next.
I had opportunities on a higher level than Malmö, on a higher league as well. In the end of the day, as I said, winning, I won a lot as a player. Going with Denmark, 3.5 years without losing a game, and now being at Malmö, I'm not used to losing. I hate losing. So those winning those games and it's quite addicted. But in the end of the day, it's also about the project. The project, the way you can build a club towards the right direction. So it's about the project, the next step. And it's not important if it's in that and that country. It's about the project, the total packet.
And presumably some of it will be important because you were slightly separated from your family, and does that is, you know, such a brutal life you guys. It's well rewarded life. It's wonderful when you win, but in family terms, if you're separated, that's pretty shit. Will the next step include where can we all live together, or does that? Are you
depends?
You're preventing
at the moment. I don't have a club, so depend of the situation as well, and depend where location of the club. And as you said, yeah, you as a manager, it's a part of the manager life to get sacked. So that was also a good feeling just to after going away from Malmö and making my own decision after 2 great years, walking out of the front door in a way.
Gareth Scriven is one of our socios again. Hi, Graham. After Jon's spell at Newcastle, does he ever wish he'd returned to the Premier League in England at some point? Did he ever get offered the chance? And if so, how close was it to happening?
First of all, of course, Newcastle at that time was a tough challenge. Great club.
Small similarities with Feyenoord in terms of the mentality
and the way of thinking, the passion, I think you can say that. Great, great club. We were playing Champions League that year, had a really difficult time.
How did you go against Barcelona?
Yeah, piece of cake, huh?
It's a good answer. It's a very Newcastle answer, that one.
Yeah. No, it was a lovely game. And it was actually, I'm sometimes, you know, it's a bit sad I was playing out of the position.
Yeah.
Because I think it could have been a great playing together with Shearer, which actually did in the preseason.
But for his injury.
Yeah. Was it the right managerial solution, knowing what you know now, not protecting the young guy, John Dal Thomason, but was it the right solution to do what Doug Leash did and say to you, hey kid, first season here, young guy, play in the nine position?
I think there was the only solution, one of the only solutions he had.
That was it.
Yeah. So I think it was a normal, but I was not ready to play this.
No.
Not at that time, not at all. During the years afterwards, I played as a nine, played just as a 10, nine and a half, call it what you want to call it. But at that time, I was not ready to play as a lonely striker, not the way we played as well. But during the years, I adapted to that.
So it's just sometimes shit happens, and
that's football. Coach has to deal with.
Yeah. Did you think of it like that at the time?
No, I think I learned a lot of. It was a tough experience. As a youngster, it's a very tough experience, you know, because you want to do well and you want to prove yourself for the world, for the English fans, that you're really good. And you didn't get that. I didn't do it that well. So that's of course, a tough for a youngster.
Doug Leash, as a guy, because first of all, I suppose the traditional question is, how much did you understand?
With the dialect.
It's a straight question.
Yeah. Sorry. No, but he's of course a true gentleman. He was a true gentleman in that way, as a manager.
Much to learn for you now, thinking back.
I think he was always honest. I think that's a quite important point, for sure. Being honest, being direct regarding the things you want to say.
You're referring to something that most of our listeners, I think, will know about, but not everybody knows about that. There's a lot of people in football who lie to one another or who avoid telling the truth.
Avoid, I think maybe it's the right word, avoid.
Avoid. On a day-to-day situation, in a training ground, if the coach or the assistant coach is telling you one thing to your face, but you know it's not true, the relationship is, within a couple of weeks, is broken.
Yeah, you should never do it. You should be tough and honest about it. When it's bad, isn't it? Yeah, and when it's brilliant, it's brilliant. Of course, there's always a different way of saying things, but you need to be honest.
Is that a skill that's easy for you?
Yeah, I think that's normal. Yeah.
Just tell somebody to their face.
Of course. I think in the end of the day, you get the respect, and you get and actually get the benefit in the end of the day because people respect you.
And you're not there to be friends.
No.
If friendship comes, it's a useful bonus.
Yeah. No, actually, you are in a place where you need to perform. You need to perform as a manager, as a staff, as a player as well. You need to perform for the club, and you need to perform for the fans. And that's the most important thing, actually. So you need to take tough decision, which is part of the game.
We're going to draw to a close now, but we need to stop talking about club. And we need to... Did you have good memories of playing for Denmark? And you're the record scorer, certainly in the modern... You're equal top scorer, but in the modern times, you're number one scorer. I'd like to ask, what memories do you have of the 2002 World Cup? For example, beating Uruguay, beating the reigning champions. Draw up on your memories of that experience, that living and working that culture for a summer. And then I want to close on where Denmark is now and what has made them such, because they seem to epitomise as a national team everything that you've talked about in terms of intelligence on the pitch, character, extremely entertaining, winning. They're like the perfect embodiment of everything you've been talking about, that you stand for. But let's go back to Japan, Korea. Try and sum up what the experience was like, because maybe was that the peak of your international experience?
I think I just played the UEFA Cup final and we just won it against Dortmund.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks before, I signed for Milan. I went there to play in the World Cup in Japan, South Korea. It was first of all, playing for a country. It's an amazing feeling. You should be proud of that. You should always be available for the country.
Good for you. It's really important to you, the flag.
Every day I feel like that, and I think actually you should feel like that as a footballer. You want to give something back to the people of your own country. I think that's quite important. And the only thing, playing in Japan and South Korea, you don't get the connection with the fans.
Yeah,
okay. Because there's, of course, a distance, but it was a great experience. I've played the European Championship in 2000, Holland and Belgium. Not successful with Denmark.
Yeah.
Then playing in the World Cup, winning against France, and going through for the group.
playing England afterwards, there was a tough cookie, but we did really well and scored a lot of goals. It was great experience.
The coach was Morten Olsen?
Morten Olsen, yeah.
He said you were the ultimate team player.
Yeah, he said that, yeah. I always want the team to win. It's not about me, it's about the team. That's also how I manage.
That's 100% always been your perspective?
Always. That's also how I manage now. Always make the decision regarding the team. The team is number one.
And then, I think you recognise what I was talking about, the national team. First of all, in your opinion, should you be in charge of the national team right now?
I think we have an excellent manager, mm-hmm. Kasper Juhlma, who done well. He took over. We arrived at when Denmark missed out on a European Championship and a World Cup, not doing that well.
Yeah.
So we built the squad again, and I think he developed that squad with new youngster Damsgaard, Miele, Skov Olsen, a couple of those players. So we built the fundament, the spirit of the team, and I think they're doing really well. I'm enjoying them. I think actually this year we won in England, and in the semi-final against England here in the European 2020.
Yeah. Then why is it that Danish national football right now, after your reign together, you were the assistant, why is it so powerful? Why is it so? There's when you watch them, there's a really clear idea of playing. There's a lot of individual talent, but maybe very few world level players. Eriksen apart.
Eriksen's great, yeah.
Eriksen apart. There seems to be a completely unified spirit and character. There's both intelligence and fight. There's a clear game plan. How much do you feel responsible for that? And why is the national team so healthy right now? And I'm talking about over the, you know, the 4 or 5 years that you two were in charge, and now the coach is taking it to the next tournament, which is the World Cup in Qatar. Why are things so healthy?
First of all, I think we're quite good. Denmark is quite good in bringing up youngsters, working with youngsters, develop young players. I think we're extremely good. We need to be good because the country is small. So you need to have a plan and follow that plan. And we had a plan with Denmark, and you see that. It takes some years, of course. You need a plan to be successful. And we had that plan. And now it's a team with a great spirit, but it's also the team is still number one in everything they're doing. The team is number one. It's about the team. And you said there's not top-class players. For me, okay, Eriksen is a top-class player as well. But you also have leaders in the team. Simon Kjær, for example, for Milan. He's a really, really leader. And you have a lot of talent, youngsters. And I think, in a way, when the COVID, after the COVID period, the national team needed to play 3 games in a week, more or less. So all those youngsters were more or less playing the second games. So suddenly Denmark, having a quite small group, it became bigger with a talent pool of players you would never normally would have seen. Mm-hmm. Of course, you play 3 games in a week, mm-hmm. and no players were able of playing 3 national games in a week time. So the group actually become much bigger, and you see the quality now. It's very, very, a lot of talents doing a good plan. The manager is doing an excellent job. So I'm really...
You're actually enjoying it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm the biggest fan.
And for the moment, no stress, because at the moment it's not your job. So there's a perfect... Like, it's good to watch the national team. It's fun, and it's not your responsibility for the moment.
No, I think they're doing an excellent job. The coaching staff and of course, the players together. They're one unit, and they're connecting in every sense, actually.
Then we're finishing with six quick... This has been fantastic. If you've got the patience, we're going to finish with 6 quick-fire questions. I don't think you answered the Premier League. Did anybody ask you to come back to go to...
Oh, sorry.
No. I drew you one.
Yeah, I couldn't go back. I didn't do it. I chose something else at that time.
To which club?
Oh, yeah.
It's gone now.
Yeah, but...
They can't sign you now.
No, I can't remember. I can tell you another story then.
Go on.
When I signed for Milan, I could also sign for Barcelona.
Charlie Rexach loved you as a player.
Actually,
I had agreed the contract with Barcelona and Milan, but I choose Milan as well. I thought at that time that was the biggest side, and there was also a couple of Danish players in the selection. So I thought, oh, maybe
Larsen
and Helveg,
Thomas Helveg, ex-Udinese. He could right full back.
Yeah, exactly. So those players called me the whole time, so that helped a bit as well.
Secondly, your favourite player to play with of all time that you've played with, just your favourite.
My favourite player, if I call it the favourite player, is Michael Radden at the time.
Guest on this series, Michael was brilliant on this series.
No, but excellent person, brilliant players, but playing together at Milan with Pirlo was amazing. The way he passed the ball, his vision, just turning very easy. It looks very easy, just turning one way, and suddenly he turned the other way, and then the pass came. The timing and the connection, that's incredible. Great to see that he also went into management. There's a lot of players for that Milan side actually who went into management.
Almost every player a leader in his own right. We'll send you the you never read Pirlo's book, I guess, his autobiography.
No, I haven't read it.
So we are the publishers that set this up, Martin and Neil. We're going to give you in the end the Sacchi autobiography written by Sacchi about the Immortals. But we published Pirlo's autobiography in English too.
Okay.
So clearly you could easily read it in Italian, but we'll send you it because it's a very
lovely
good book. So
great
Pirlo, it might be the same answer. The best footballer that you played with or faced in your career, the best.
It's so difficult.
It's a tough one, yeah.
Because there's been plenty of great players. If you look at a few players I played together with in Milan, you know, the leader, Maldini, Costa Curta, Jaap Stam,
another guest 3-4 weeks ago in Spain.
Defending animal, incredible.
He literally was incredible.
Yeah.
And it, the football is so beautiful that two world class defenders, Maldini and Stam, but in many of the things that they did, so different.
Nesta as well. Yeah. And Cafu as a right back, the captain for Brazil, Cafu. No, I would go for Pirlo because of his vision, because I love the way he can actually. He can decide games. He can take the game into his own path and decide games because he sees everything and he sees it that quick.
There are similarities between you. A little like him, you made football often. I mean, you worked and sweat, but you often, and when you did the big things, a decision or a pass or a goal, you made it look simple. Oh, it wasn't, but he also does that.
Nothing is simple now. Your throat is wrong. Yeah.
The best strip, the best shirt of any of the teams you played for, and I'm sorry, I'm excluding the Danish national team because I know where you're going to go with that one.
My big Danish heart.
Yeah, why not?
Living in Europe the whole life, more or less, half of the life.
The favourite strip of any that you put on competitively.
I would go for the Milan shirt.
Rossoneri.
Rossoneri.
A cheeky question.
Yeah.
At Ibrox at the press conference, why did you say they need the money most? What was the?
I think we needed the money. I think every team needed the money. You just heard we won 30 million. And actually now, if you see Malmö,
I just like the way you did it, because you said it with cheekiness. And then you did something that I remember. I'm not a big Mourinho fan as a person, but I remember to take the stage at Barcelona one day with Chelsea. He went, right, you're not asking, I'll tell you the team. Read the 11 names of the team out and went, that's a good way to finish. Stood up and walked out. And if you can handle a press conference like that, it's quite good. So the way you said, and I think you said, that's a good answer, no? And that was that. What was the mind space? What was going on?
No, to be honest, you know, I meant what I said. We needed the money as well, and Rangers needed the money. And I think every club in the world, if you're not top, you need that money to develop, to buy players, to get the right players in.
The last one is, during our working lifetimes, are we going to see Jondal Thomason coaching a team to lift a European trophy?
Oh, that could be great. I think you always have to have ambition and dream big, and I will do that.
I'm taking that as a yes. This has been an absolute pleasure. I'm sorry it was so long. I guess you've answered all of these questions about 50 times each before.
I'm not so sure about us. Great questions.
Thank you for handling it with dignity. And it's been an enormous pleasure. When I said watching you was just pure joy, and I meant, I don't know if you liked or didn't like the comparisons with Griezmann, Benzema, Litmanen, but those players who seem to have an understanding of what's going to happen, and then they take advantage of it and do things, particularly you were often between the lines. I think they are the type of players that do what you say you like as a coach. They win, they create, they score, but they entertain.
Yeah. So great to hear.
You're an entertainer.
Lovely.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
Fantastic.
It's been lovely. Thank you.
That was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Here endeth the lesson.